The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Darren Svensson of KDEC in Decorah and Seth Boies of the Dickinson County News. Seth, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
To start with, the Senate had voted against the emergency declaration, and it looks like you voted in support of the president like you said you probably would. What are your general feelings on Thursday's vote, especially in regards to Congress's power of the purse?
2 points. Number one, you asked your question in support of the president. I didn't vote in support of the president. I voted in support of border security and controlling the border and keeping criminals and sex traffickers, human traffickers, and drugs out of our country, because the president's number one responsibility is to protect the American people. On the other hand, I think in 1976, and since 1976, since Congress gave the president authority to do this, every president since Jimmy Carter has issued emergency declarations 49 times, 31 of them I'm still think are in effect. And so I'm joining Senator Lee in reviewing that law and curtailing Congress's delegation of its legislative authority to the executive branch of government. We've done too much of that. Another example of where I'm working on the same thing, even before this issue came up, I made a point that we're going to review the 1962 law that delegated too much authority for the president to put tariffs on. And that's in the jurisdiction of my committee. So as chairman of the Finance Committee, I intend to pursue that. In regard to the 1976 law, I intend to help Senator Lee leading that charge of review.
This next question may test your memory a little bit, but tomorrow is the fourth anniversary of an Iowa City pastor named Max Viatora who's deported. If I recall, some of your staff had talked with his family and some advocates back in 2016, I believe, about ICE's discretion to possibly let him stay in the country. On this anniversary, in light of the issue continuing to be a hot-button issue for folks, what's kind of your general take on individual cases like that where a community advocates for an immigrant?
Let's just say that whether it's Social Security, Medicare, veterans things, or immigration things, we probably have 1,000 cases that are alive at any one time. We might close 2 today and get 2 new ones in, and a lot of those are immigration cases. And when people's constitutional rights are being violated, we try to help them through the bureaucracy, and we will continue to do that in any case that comes to our attention. Of course, remember, there's a lot of immigration cases going on that maybe we don't even know about unless somebody comes to our office and asks for our help.
I also saw you recently tweeted you were expecting a meeting with the president to talk about Iowa trade and the USMCA and possibly end of, I think it was about 200 tariffs. How did that discussion go?
232 tariffs is a section of the code that I told you that we're reviewing and want to restrict the president's use of it. In the meantime, it's the law of the land and the president has used it. And he used it in the case of aluminum and steel in regard to Mexico and Canada. And the meeting was all about getting those tariffs off in order to get the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement before Congress. And also, it's necessary to get it off if it's going to come before the Canadian House of Commons and if it's going to come before the Mexican Senate. So the president put those tariffs on in order to get Mexico and Canada to negotiate, and they ought to come off because the president says he has a good an agreement. Why they're still on doesn't meet the test of fairness as far as I'm concerned, and we urged him to take them off. We didn't get an answer from the president whether or not he'd take them off. We got answers like, well, they'd like to negotiate the tariffs for quotas on aluminum and steel coming into our country. And so we had about an hour and a half discussion of all those issues, and there was no resolution when the meeting was over.
Senator, when I talked to you last, it was right before the hearings you had before the Finance Committee regarding the prices of prescription drugs. You had many CEOs of prescription drug companies speak before your committee. What would you say came out of those hearings? Any sign that we're moving in the right direction regarding the cost of prescription drugs?
Well, a hearing isn't going to move us along except to get legislation written and hopefully get it passed that ends up with what your question implies of prices going down, because that's the whole purpose of this exercise. So if we don't accomplish that, then we haven't accomplished much. But the hearing that we had was a bunch of finger-pointing. Everybody but the pharmaceuticals companies were probably responsible for high drug prices. Next week or 2 weeks from now, we're going to have in the pharmacy benefit managers. They're the people in the middle that give the rebates. I'm sure they're going to point their fingers at the pharmaceutical companies or at the health insurance company. Then we have the health insurance companies in, and I've already talked to them. They're pointing their fingers back to the pharmaceutical companies. So we got to stop the finger pointing, get some legislation driven. We got to get some of the secrecy out of it. We got to make sure the marketplace works, and that ought to bring down the price of drugs. But there's too much secrecy, and nobody knows. For instance, who gets the benefit of the $170 billion of benefits of rebates that are put in place? Is a consumer benefiting? I don't think they're benefiting enough.
In that same vein, the CDC report, I think I saw a headline, was released today saying that about 12% of people on Medicaid are not taking their prescriptions as prescribed by their doctors to try and save on that cost. So will that new information factor into those decisions as well with the legislation?
I think it factors into another bill that I have in called the ACE bill, A-C-E, and that's an acronym. But the whole idea of the ACE bill is to concentrate doctors, hospitals, nurses, everybody delivering health care on the 5% of the people that end up being responsible for about 50% of all the money spent on Medicaid. So 5% of the patients, 50% of the cost. So concentrating on them to keep them healthy and to simply take their pills, which is the question you brought up. If we can get people to take their pills and keep them out of the hospital, that's the whole thing. And particularly people on Medicaid pay very little, if anything, for their pills, so why wouldn't they be taking their pills? We got to make sure they do. That's what the ACE bill is all about.
And related to President Trump's declaration of a national emergency regarding the border wall, when you and I discussed last, it was a power that he gave the executive branch way back in the 70s. Is there momentum in Congress right now to maybe lessen some of the executive branch powers related to emergency powers, and what can be declared an emergency and what can't be declared an emergency?
Yeah, Senator Lee of Utah is leading that effort, and I'm going to be a co-sponsor of his bill. And I can't go into the details that your question is asking about, but it would be reviewing everything that you just asked about and putting some limits and probably delegating less in the first place. And when you do delegate, putting more controls on what the president can do and can't do. And maybe even having Congress having to approve of an action the president's taken before it can go into effect. In other words, the Constitution gives legislative authority to the Congress of the United States, and we ought to control it and be very selfish about that control. And we haven't been very careful in the past, as the 1976 legislation implies, or as I've already spoken about a 1962 trade legislation that I'm reviewing in my Finance Committee, that would take back too much legislative authority given to the president to impose tariffs on certain products under certain conditions.
Thank you, Darren and Seth, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.